Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Fan Sports Radio. 101.9 FM. Sports Radio. 66. Sports Radio. WFAN.
Well, as previously advertised, joining us now is Billy Corbin. And he and his partner... Billy, more than one person help you put this together, I would imagine. Yes.
Yeah, we had a great team that worked very hard to tell this story as accurately and ridiculously as possible.
And again, well, first of all, we've already played your trailer twice. Now, obviously, the audio only is one thing, but we pretty much got the impression... of what you're doing. And of course, we've read the press release. We've also seen a couple of reviews when this first debuted. So I'm wondering, and you can tell me, because a lot of us remember what you did back in 2006 with Cocaine Cowboys, a great documentary. Do you think, it was terrific. Do you think that was 13 years ago. Do you think 13 years from now, people might remember the documentary you have out now, Screwball, as much as we do, Cocaine Cowboys?
Well, thanks again for saying those very nice things about Cocaine Cowboys. But I, in my opinion, which honestly doesn't really matter here, I think that Screwball is our best work. I certainly worked hardest on it than we've ever worked on anything. And I think, but again, it's not up to me. It's, comedy is in the eye of the beholder. So it's ultimately up to the audience what they think. And I hope that everybody checks it out. And I'm sure they will not be shy to let me know what they think.
Well, give us a note. They won't be. Well, tell us, I mean, this was and may continue to be a very serious issue with not only professional sports, but certainly Major League Baseball. And some of us, and you're talking to one person right now who during A-Rod's time with the New York Yankees pointed a finger at him with a smile on the face. We made a lot of fun of him because we thought that really his real name should be Pinocchio. But tell us where you came up with the idea to do what is described as a crime comedy, a madcap look at a very serious issue, steroids.
Well, not all doping documentaries are created equal, and that's because not all scandals are the same. This happened to have been a particularly preposterous one, farcical, in fact, which is why we titled the documentary Screwball. And when you boil it down, this movie really, in this story, in fact, isn't about A-Rod. Don't tell him that. But you'd hate to hear that, that something isn't about him. But it is really about this bizarre Elmore Leonard, Carl Hiaasen, Coen Brothers-esque cast of Only in Miami criminals who inhabit this bizarre subculture of shady gray market anti-aging clinics and 24-hour tanning salons. And it's just this very surreal, comical, Miami as America's Casablanca kind of a universe. And really, when you boil it down, the career of the highest paid baseball player in history effectively ended over just a $4,000 debt between a cocaine addicted fake doctor and his fake tan addicted steroid patient. So that's really what attracted us to the story, was the ludicrousness of it and the fact that A-Rod, who we remember being the focal point of the scandal, was in fact really just collateral damage.
Well, and but the star of so many, you know, so many moments of sports talk radio and news programs, and certainly you, I mean, I know there's a, by looking at the trailer, you have him when he was with Mike Francesa here at WFAN Radio in New York City, when he was pounding the table in so many words, figuratively speaking, that I am clean, I do not take steroids. And apparently you, along with a few others, didn't believe what he was saying.
Well, it's surprising, as his nose was growing, it didn't knock the microphone at the time. But I will tell you, Alex did literally pound the table at Major League Baseball headquarters in the boardroom during the arbitration, which immediately preceded his appearance at WFAN. He stormed out of there and came directly to the studio to lie, basically. And that is a very crucial, spoiler alert, a very crucial moment in the third act of our story, when he shows up to Mike Francesa. Interestingly, that was November 20th of 2013. Mm-hmm. And earlier in that month, we heard, myself and my producing partners, Alfred Spellman and David Sipkin, we heard from A-Rod's publicist, who is a fellow University of Miami alum, and he reached out to me. I had known him in the past, and said that Alex would like to meet with us in Miami while on a break from the arbitration to discuss the possibility of doing a tell-all documentary. And we were immediately intrigued. Obviously, this was in the midst of, you know, the peak of the scandal there in November of 2013. And he has an office in Coral Gables, so we thought we were going to meet very quietly. You know, this was going to be a hush-hush kind of secret meeting. But instead, they told us to meet them on a weekday at high noon at the most popular restaurant in Coral Gables, which is this very wealthy municipality adjacent to Miami, and in fact, the home of the University of Miami, which, of course, is where Alex Rodriguez Field is located. And we had this sort of, how to describe it, sort of a dog and pony lunch, kind of like the song and dance he did for Francesa, you know, this sort of self-righteous, figurative table-banging diatribe about how he never met Tony Bosch, he never used performance-enhancing drugs after, of course, he was first exposed in 09 for having used them earlier in his career. Yeah, he went on and on and on. He basically just lied to us for about an hour and a half. And so, listen, he was locked in a battle of the legacies with Bud Selig, you know, and the two of them were lobbing bombs, each spending untold millions of dollars to really kind of destroy each other. And MLB ultimately outspent him. I mean, the steroid commissioner himself, Bud Selig, was not going to be beat here, and he got his big scalp on his way out the door.
Do you think that number 13 in your program and number one in J Lo's heart? Do you think he began to believe his own lies?
Ah, what a great question. I don't think he was very convincing. I think he's an interesting and complicated character. I think he's very fragile. I think when you become that famous and that rich, that young, it takes its toll on you. And I was very interested, in fact, in interviewing him and possibly being able to examine his life and career. Ultimately, it was not meant to be. He was not actually legitimately interested in doing a documentary. He was just using us as pawns in his PR offensive. Again, that's why we met at this very prominent location, so we'd be spotted and it would appear in page six the next week. So, but that's cool. They spelled my name right in page six.
Yeah, of course.
And everything. That was cool.
See, he, I don't think, and he's one of those people that I always, and you're kind of confirming as I'm listening to you, he's one of those people who doesn't seem to be very much aware of how other people are perceiving him, are listening to him, or you know, I just don't think he ever really, I think he began to think, or does still think, that when he was lying, that people believed him. I don't think that he was totally aware, and he may be so narcissistic, everything is about him. And everybody knows from that more so now than maybe earlier in his career. But the bottom line is, I just don't think he was ever aware of how other people saw him.
I think there's something to be said for that. As I said before, when you become that famous and rich that young,
yeah,
it gives you a warped perspective on the world because you stop hearing the word no. You're only surrounded by people who tell you yes, who tell you you're right, who tell you how great you are, how you can do no wrong. And that really, you don't have a proper perspective on the world because of that. I mean, we all are who we are because of our failures, I think, than our successes. And certainly because we're aware of our limitations, because people say, no, you can't do that, or yes, you can do that, or, you know, and then you have to overcome adversity. I think he's just one of those people who, since a very young age, has been always told yes. But here's the thing. If he thought people were believing him, why did he pay or have to pay those protesters who were picketing outside Major League Baseball headquarters during the arbitration? I don't think, unless his people didn't tell him, they just wanted him to believe that all those folks were out there holding the same poster with the same handwriting and the same messages, and that was a real thing. I don't know. I have to wonder how much of it he convinced himself of, and how much he just knew he was BSing.
And what does it say? I mean, since all of this, that he's been hired by networks, ESPN, he does work for Fox, he's now dating one of the most beautiful women in the world. Apparently, he's become very notorious, very infamous, and in this day and age, what does that say about the rest of us?
Well, it says we're through the looking glass is what it says. I mean, you know, who the hell ever thought we'd live long enough to see a time when everybody loved A-Rod and hated Jeter? I mean, when did that happen? You know, I feel like I'm knocked on the head or something and woke up in a parallel universe or something, like alternate 1985 from Back to the Future 2 or something. But these are sort of the new American values. You know, they're lie, cheat, and steal. And that's how you get ahead. That's how you succeed and get rich is by law. That's America's real pastime.
Yes.
Is lie, cheat, and steal.
And
so I think that's the message is lie, cheat, and steal, kids. And you could be the highest paid baseball player of all time. Lie, cheat, and steal, and you can be the commissioner of baseball. Lie, cheat, and steal, and you two kids can be president of the United States. And I just want to make A-Rod great again. MAGA. You know?
I would agree with the president of the United States when he says he's more popular than Abraham Lincoln, especially in the South. But the bottom line is, no, I mean, I understand from what you're saying. Now, how involved was Anthony Bosch in your documentary? And again, it's Screwball, and we're talking with Billy Corbin with his team putting this together, writer, director, producer, choreographer. Key grip. He did it all, and it's called Screwball on right now with iTunes. Am I right, Billy?
iTunes, Amazon, Google Play, Microsoft, where pay per view, wherever you download or stream movies, it's available.
Okay, very good. And but again, give us the input and the contribution with Screwball, your documentary here with Anthony Bosch. How big of a part in your documentary has he played?
Well, we did an extensive series of interviews with him over the course of several weeks, and he walked us, you know, chapter and verse through his life story, through the scandal itself, how he came to meet players like Manny Ramirez and Alex Rodriguez and Melky Cabrera and Ryan Braun, and how his really shady gray market anti-aging clinic through word of mouth, really, and through agents and coaches and you know, and trainers, really took off as the clearinghouse for specifically professional baseball players and, disturbingly, some high school players and college players as well, whose parents and coaches brought them to Tony Bosch you know, to prepare for the June draft. And Tony was I thought very candid with us. We certainly did a lot of fact checking. We obtained a lot of materials that had never been made public, some under oath testimony. So we were able to ensure that all of this had and much of this had been sworn to already. Because Tony was quite the quite the charmer and the schmoozer and the salesman. He was a unlicensed physician, some might say fake doctor, although he takes exception to that term. He prefers unlicensed physician because he did go to medical school in Belize. In Belize, one of our interview subjects describes it as the Belize School of the Medical and Performing Arts. But he wore a lab coat with the name Dr. Tony Bosch on it. He wore a stethoscope around his neck, and purported they referred to him as Dr. T. I think Manny Ramirez may have started that nickname, Dr. T. And he passed himself off as a medical professional, which he was not. And he told us he's also a recovering drug addict, and was very candid about that as well, about how most of the money he was getting in cash from his clients went directly up his nose. In many instances, and I think was by and large pretty truthful with us. In so much as we were able to vet everything that we put in the movie as being truthful.
Have you been sued by anybody?
What time is it? It's early. Isn't it? Well, listen, I'll tell you. That's why we were so meticulous after nearly 20 years of producing documentaries. We were particularly careful about this one. As you're well aware, we're dealing with moneyed and litigious interests here.
And of course, we all know that when Aroyd was going through everything he was going through, he was suing everybody except, I think, myself and the two guys on the other side of the glass that I'm working with tonight, Brian and Peter. I think we were the only three who was, and now I wouldn't be surprised with this out, with this documentary called Screwball that is out now and playing at some cyberspace venues near you. The bottom line is that I'm surprised he's not about to sue you and call you a liar for saying that he was taking drugs.
Well, I'll say the only reason he probably didn't sue you guys is because the glass wall was protecting you from the process servers, I have to guess. But I will say that we have the truth and facts on our side here. Major League Baseball, in fact, ran amok in South Florida. We have a Department of Health investigator, former Department of Health investigator, who says unequivocally in the movie that Major League Baseball's investigators broke the law without any accountability in the state of Florida in buying stolen medical records for cash from a convicted felon with literally a trash bag or a gym bag or shopping bag full of $125,000 from, I presume, some MLB slush fund. And they also abused the court system as well and sued some of the witnesses that they wanted to compel to testify in their hearings and in their arbitration. They abused the court system by suing them to try to force their appearance under oath when they had no grounds whatsoever to do so. Mm-hmm. So we deal with a little bit of that abusive process and the shenanigans on the part of Major League Baseball in the documentary. But we are not concerned because, again, first of all, we have, like I said, the truth on our side. And second, I think Alex seems to be a little bit more liberated these days, not being a professional baseball player anymore, now being, in broadcasting now. And I think he's really good at the job, in fact.
He seems
to be enjoying himself and his life and his new career. And so I feel like he would probably... I feel like, I don't know if he's seen it yet, but I feel like he would get a kick out of it. I think he would agree that he acted like a child through all of this scandal. And he and J-Lo are welcome for free at any screening, or if they, I'll send him a download link. But Rob Manfred has to pay. He has to pay to see the movie.
We know at the Academy Awards he was there and shown a couple of times with J-Lo. And I loved how on the red carpet before the whole Academy Awards program got itself underway, they were on the red carpet, and the dress that J-Lo was wearing was described as a mirror dress. And the, and the immediate thought that I had, Billy, was that whenever A-Rod looks at J-Lo, he was seeing himself. By the way, I have an idea for another documentary for you. Since we're talking about South Florida as a sunny place for shady people, how about doing a documentary on massage parlors in Jupiter, Florida?
Well, I think we all know that the Patriots are all about draining balls. So we could certainly do that, and I would say that maybe next year at the Oscars, J-Lo could wear a centaur dress. Alex would really love that.
Okay. Listen, it was a couple of fun minutes with you. I wish you all the best in the world. And a Cocaine Cowboy is very popular. I hope this gets the same kind of reviews. And it's already off to the good start as far as reviews that I've seen. So we wish you all the best with Screwball. It really is a fun thing to look at. It's only 105 minutes, and we thank you very much for giving us a little bit less than 105 minutes, but we thank you very much for your time.
Anytime, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. All right, Billy Corbin, director, writer, choreographer, key grip with Screwball.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.